66 degrees. Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Well, goodness sakes, Adam Lepp, that is I. Good morning. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. This show, as you probably already know, is worth setting the alarm clock for, worth making the coffee for, because we talk today's top technology topics. Hey, thank you so much for stopping by. We, of course, talk about computers, laptops, tablets, smartphones, not-so-smartphones, and things that are technology-related, self-driving cars and trucks and other vehicles, robotics, medical technology, of course, social networking. That'll be the first story that I'll cover in a minute or two, and things like that to make your life easier, more fun, more productive, and even more profitable in the technologically dominated world that we live in 2016. And one of the coolest things about this show is we like to get your phone calls live on the air. So, hey, is your printer not printing? Your monitor is only monitoring how aggravated you're getting with technology. Your server is not serving you anything but headaches and things like that. Or maybe you have a question or comment about a story that I've covered on a previous show. Wanted to ask me about Windows 10 or Mac or another operating system. Maybe you want to do some changing, or maybe you need to buy a new technology device. Those are all fair games here, and fair game or topics that we like to talk about. That makes sense. Another one I like to address is technology in sports. Some changes going on in Major League Baseball, where players can monitor their health while they're on the field. Plus, they may be changing the strike zone. So things like that I love to talk about. You know, it's spring. It's baseball season. Football season will be here before you know it. So social networking and computers and, again, tech in general related to sports, another topic that I enjoy discussing. Number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Yes, I'm live here at the Marion Center Mall, and goodness sakes, I would love to talk to you. Pick up the phone, cell phone, rotary dial phone, bag phone, you name it. Those types of phones are all usable. 740-383-WWGH, and of course that comes to 9944. Yes, a beautiful day outside. We're expecting maybe a thunderstorm later, but that's okay. You know, it is late May, and those kind of things happen this time of year. As you may have heard, a somewhat big story this week relates to Twitter. And what are they up to, you may ask? Well, on Tuesday, they announced a number of changes to tweets, including what will be included in a message's 140 character count. The changes, which will be rolled out in the coming months, were outlined by Twitter Senior Product Manager Todd Sherman. Now, basically, when replying to a tweet, tagged at names at the beginning of the reply no longer will be included in the character count. So when you tag a tweet with, like, at Adam the Wonderful Computer Guy person in Marion, Ohio, that part wouldn't count as one of the characters. So with a long name, like McGillicuddy, if that was your last name. You know, Lepp is kind of a short name, but if your name is longer than mine, good news, it just won't count in that character limit, currently at 140. Photos, GIFs, videos, polls, and quote tweets no longer will be counted against the character limit. Tweets that begin with a username will be delivered to all followers of that user. Now, previously, a period had to be inserted before the username. Otherwise, the tweet would be seen only by the followers of the writer of the tweet and any other usernames in the tweet. And last but not least, users will be able to retweet and quote tweet themselves. Got all that? There could be a test on that next hour. You never quite know. Charlie Evers is up next, and he might be testing you on these Twitter changes, so definitely take note. And if you want to talk about them, are you a frequent tweeter? What do you think about these changes? Will they allow people to use Twitter more effectively, or are they maybe overkill? Number here at the station, 740-383-9944. John Carroll is a mass communications professor at Boston University. He had some things to say about this. There are a lot of people who will look on retweeting yourself with dismay. People are so obsessed that it could become a form of spam that clogs up people's timelines. It's one more platform for narcissism. And that's a kind of counterpoint from Professor John Carroll at Boston University. A good thing about the changes, though, is that they show a flexibility that has been absent in the past. Andreas Scherer, a managing partner at Salto Partners, said, "Twitter held firm too long on a very stringent format." He said this announcement is a sign that the company is willing to rethink the experience that users have with its service. Jan Dawson, chief analyst at Jackdaw Research, said, "Nevertheless, the changes probably will be interesting only to power users of the service. They won't do anything at all to drive user growth." And last but not least, power user Erna Alfred Leusis, analyst with Forrester Research, welcomed the changes. See, if you're a big user of Twitter, you're going to want to use it and take these changes and use them to their full advantage. But as the professor at Boston University said, it does open the door to spamming. If you like my opinion, I tend to agree with the professor, because people do take advantage of these loosening of rules. Well, I guess we'll find out. I mean, seeing certainly is believing. Anyway, Erna Alfred Leusis, the power user, who also works at Forrester Research, said, "They are addressing things that didn't make sense to all of us who use the platform on a regular basis. The changes will reinforce why we're on the platform. We'll actually be able to have conversations without being penalized for including a person or a link or photo. The changes will not bring new users to the platform, but they'll make the experience overall a lot smoother." Now you might wonder, how does Twitter usage compare to Facebook? Of course, Facebook is the king of social media. The number of monthly active Twitter users worldwide only rose 2.6% from the first quarter of 2015 to the first quarter of 2016. I mean, that certainly is a nice amount, but nothing compared to the rise in usage over at Facebook. Number of users currently is 310 million, which is approximately the population of the United States, but that is a worldwide number. Twitter has 65 million active users in the United States. Of course, that's a rather small number compared to Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. Now, Twitter has this outsized media presence because of who tends to use it. And those types of individuals include sports figures, news media, and entertainment personalities. And that comes from Professor John Carroll, we quoted him earlier, who has a bit of a counterpoint on the Twitter relaxing of character limits, and he's a professor at Boston University. While the latest changes will appeal to existing users, they won't address Twitter's bigger problem. And that comes from Brian Blau, a research director at Gartner. He said, "Twitter has not yet been effective at solving the issue of attracting, onboarding, and retaining new users at significant growth rates. That new level of interest in Twitter has not been seen yet. And while the new tweet features are good updates, they likely will not help to change the situation with growth on their own. So does Twitter have some growing pains? I would say it probably does. Certainly, the 310 million worldwide users is a pretty good number, but compare that to the billions of people who use Facebook. But again, 310 million ain't too shabby. Wall Street is expecting more from its former wunderkind. It appears that time is running out, as Wall Street has been a bit sour on Twitter. Part of its problem is how it stacks up against its competition, and that comes from Greg Sterling from Local Search Association. He said the audience Twitter needs to go after is the younger audience, the Snapchat and Instagram users. That's hard because those two sites have a mindshare monopoly on that population. So many perspectives on the Twitter relaxing of rules. Again, I'd love to hear what you have to say. 740-383-9944. That's my number here at the station. With me, Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Current time here is 25 minutes after 9 in the AM. Good morning. So glad to have you with us. A Foxconn factory's workforce has shrunk from 110,000 employees down to 50,000. And that's according to a report from the South China Morning Post. So you might ask, why have they shrunk by 60,000 Homo sapiens? Well, that might be a clue to the reason. Robots can do the same job. Now, Foxconn is Apple's primary manufacturing partner. And there is a fear that other factories at the Chinese city of Kunshan will do the same thing, something which could have a disastrous impact on the population of the area, which is largely made up of migrant workers. In fact, according to the report, as many as 600 companies in the area have plans to rely more on automation. Foxconn has been working toward replacing workers with robots for a while now, in an obvious attempt to save money and increase profits. Now, of course, robots are an expensive upfront investment, but over time they're far cheaper than hiring and employing workers. It's not known exactly which products are manufactured at the Kunshan plant. However, companies in the area made 51 million laptops and 20 million smartphones last year. So robotics certainly having an impact on the way that things are produced and how it affects employment in a certain area. Love to hear what you have to say. 740-383-9944. You can also email me, by the way. I want to mention that too, because I pretty much read emails around the clock. And I'll be happy to reply to any questions on the air. I'm on the air Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features here on WWGH. And my email address is adam@WWGH1071.com. Now, over time, Foxconn plants are going to get increasingly automated, not just to save money, but also to continue to meet Apple's demands. Foxconn regularly hires extra workers to meet the demand when a new iPhone launches. Foxconn has made headlines in the past for how it treats its employees, and Apple has received much of the backlash. In fact, back in 2012, Apple began investigating the working conditions at Foxconn factories, prompting Foxconn to start improving those conditions. Now, of course, it's not like Apple is uninterested in robots itself. The company recently unveiled a new robot that it calls Liam, which is designed to quickly tear down used devices so that their parts can be recycled. Other companies are likely to follow suit. Former McDonald's CEO Ed Rinsey recently said that a raise in the maximum wage, in the minimum wage, a raise in the minimum wage would cause companies to invest in robot workers. So now we're getting into some politics. Presidential candidates wanting to raise the minimum wage to as high as $15 an hour. How will that affect the possibility or likelihood of replacing workers with a robot? Ed Renzi, again, former McDonald's CEO, said it's cheaper to buy a $35,000 robotic arm than it is to hire an employee who is inefficient, making $15 an hour, begging French fries. So an interesting perspective. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. You know, with the political climate currently, political candidates, and there are campaign promises and other shenanigans. Certainly, things like robotics and how will they replace workers making maybe more than they would normally make before the minimum wage possible increase certainly is a topic of discussion. Number here at the station, 740-383-9944. Beep, beep. Yes, I'm going to toot my own horn because we do that at least once a show because it's fun. Have you seen the website lately? Because it really rocks. And of course, I'm a horn tutor because I'm the webmaster, programmer, developer, designer, and my company is the host of the website, host of the email. Anyway, we have archives of all of our shows since early January when I started at this station. You can listen online on your smartphone, tablet, laptop, desktop, you name it. The sound quality is excellent. It connects quickly and sounds fantastic, if I should say so myself. Just click on the Listen Now button at our website, wwgh1071.com. If you are a user of TuneIn, a free app that lets you listen to radio stations of many kinds all over the great world that we live in, and I use TuneIn to listen to the station, just go to TuneIn, download the app if you've not already done that, and search for WWGH, and you can listen online on your smart device. That's what I do in the car. Put it on your Bluetooth if you have Bluetooth on your car audio system, and you can crank the volume. Let everybody know you're listening to Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. Anywhere in the world, all you need is an internet connection. How cool is that? Let me know what you think about the website. Would very much be interested in your comments, questions, and even complaints. Those are cool. Adam@WWGH1071.com or give me a call right now, 740-383-9944. Enough horn tooting for now. Maybe we'll discuss the website again later in the show. Guess we'll have to decide if that would be an appropriate topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Talking technology topics from all angles. We covered some updates and some associated controversy over at Twitter. Another topic I often delve into would be wearable technology, the Fitbit and those kinds of things. So far, 2016 has not really been a very exciting year for wearable technology. The best watches and fitness bands that you can buy right now were, for the most part, released last year. So come on, guys, let's see some new tech. Anyway, you can practically count the number of new and notable wearable things that debuted during the first part of this year, and you can probably count it on one hand. Among the new releases in the wearable tech arena are the Fitbit Blaze, the Fitbit Alta, and several new GPS watches from Garmin. Might be interesting to some people, but to others it's a bit of a snooze. But that is going to change this fall, just in time for Christmas. How about that for good timing? Google has unveiled its version of the Android Wear 2.0. Now, what will Android Wear do? It will improve smartwatches. It will also add better fitness tracking and improve ways to respond to messages with handwriting recognition and smart keyboards. Also, off-watch apps will work over cellular watch connections. My goodness, that sounds very fancy. Pebble has announced that its next Pebble 2 and Pebble Time 2 smartwatches will add heart rate on the wrist. And in the case of the Time 2, will be more affordable. That's always a good thing, the old dollar sign coming into play. Even the Core is coming next year, and that's not even a watch at all. Pebble watches will get a new software update, which will add extra features. But for the newest technology, you'll have to wait until September. Apple, of course, not one to shy away from the latest and greatest. They haven't had a new Apple Watch since the debut model 13 months ago, April of 2015. Now, it did just get a price cut in April of 2016. It now seems more than ever likely that Apple Watch 2 will arrive in the fall. Alongside the iPhone 7 would make a lot of sense because Apple will detail the new visions for the watch operating system at their developer conference in a few weeks. And last but not least, Samsung's Gear G2 debuted last fall. Odds are that an update could be here this fall. So if you're a fan of wearable technology like I am, we have some good news on the horizon. And I think it's going to coincide with the Christmas season, like things often tend to do when it comes to the latest and greatest. Let's see what else we have here. In the arena of technology news and latest and greatest in gadgetry, Toyota and Deka Research and Development last week, check this out, announced an agreement that will revive development of the iBot, and that's a wheelchair that can climb stairs. Definitely not only cool, but could be very helpful to millions and millions of people. The companies revealed their pact to develop mobility solutions for the disabled community at the annual convention of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Now, one of the first initiatives under the agreement will be to resurrect the iBot, which uses a balancing technology similar to the Segway, which allows it to perform tasks like climbing stairs. The motorized wheelchair has two sets of wheels that can be rotated to allow it to negotiate stairs. It also allows an operator to go from a sitting position to a standing configuration of about 6 feet and remain mobile, which makes it easier to talk and walk with a companion. Toyota will license Deka's balancing technologies for medical rehabilitative therapy and potentially other purposes. Now, plans for the iBot were first aired 15 years ago in 2001, but Deka, which was founded by Segway inventor Dean Kamen, along with partner Johnson & Johnson, could not get the price of the wheelchairs below $25,000, and they stopped making them in 2009. So the story's been developing for quite a while. Ermanno Krebs, a principal research scientist at MIT, said, "When Johnson & Johnson were producing those wheelchairs, they were developing a technology that was well ahead of its time. So a lot of things they were using were probably very expensive." He said they were not able to reduce the price or get the right reimbursement for the device, so Johnson & Johnson stopped producing the iBot. Ermanno Krebs, again from MIT, said technologies like accelerometers, gyroscopes, and many other things have evolved in the last 15 years, which could amount to a significant reduction in cost. And that's why Toyota is interested in restarting this concept. Now, Krebs said the wheelchairs could have a significant impact on a person's life. Krebs had an opportunity to sit in one of the original iBot production models. Again, this gentleman is a scientist at MIT, a lot of smart people there at that university. He said it was an exciting experience. You can only imagine what it's like for a body that's been bound in a traditional motorized wheelchair to have the ability to go upstairs and go through terrains that before they could not go. He said it expands quite significantly the number of things they can do in an independent fashion. The iBot is part of a new generation of wheelchairs that aim to bring style and panache to the devices. Devices like the Whill Model M, a futuristic-looking wheelchair with four-wheel drive, was introduced earlier this year. Whill Marketing Director Chris Koyama said Whill treats the user of those devices as consumers. He said, I think the conventional way of thinking of them is as patients, strictly medical, which is why wheelchairs are strictly functional. Now, Koyama said Whill covers the functional aspect of a wheelchair, but it covers an emotional aspect as well. We believe the emotional aspect of the industry is lacking. He said that emotional aspect of a product is expressed in design. He said design is all around us, in our homes, in our electronics. When you look at conventional wheelchairs, they lack that aspect. What's more, traditional wheelchairs do not take into account the individuality of their operators. He said, we believe people have certain lifestyles. We try to keep in mind how people live their lives, especially if they want to lead an active lifestyle. He said, that's why our chair has four-wheel drive, so people don't have to think twice if they're going over grass or gravel. That's why our chairs can go over a 3-inch curb, while other chairs can do maybe 2 inches. Active people go a lot of different places, so we needed to consider a lot of different environments. So some very cool developments in the wheelchair industry. Let me know what you think. 740-383-9944. Your questions, comments, suggestions are always welcome here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Hey, join the conversation. About 41 minutes after 9 in the AM. Charlie Evers coming up in about 35 minutes. He's on, of course, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with interesting anecdotes and stories. And, of course, he also gives away prizes. Don't want to miss the Charlie Evers Show coming up after the 10 a.m. news like it does every Wednesday and Thursday here on WWGH. Until then, it's me, Adam Lepp. Good morning. I'm the Computer Guy. Thank you so much for listening. Gosh, I really appreciate it. By the way, if you would like to be an underwriter or sponsor of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, that would be simply awesome. And that's awesome with a capital A. Excellent pricing. You'll be getting many mentions throughout the day on WWGH, on my show, and others. Send me an email. Let's talk about it. Adam at WWGH1071.com. It doesn't matter which way the court swings on the cable industry's legal challenge to the Federal Communication Commission's open internet rules. Everybody has already lost. And that's according to Michael Powell, head of the cable industry's biggest lobbying group, and he's a former FCC chairman. He said last week in an interview that I have been in regulation too long to not know win or lose. We're all going to kind of lose because we're going to have a prolonged, protracted, complex, messy fight with uncertainty and confusion around products and services. We are potentially days away from a federal appeals court issuing a decision on a lawsuit challenging the so-called net neutrality rules, which could finally resolve how the internet will work in the future. Now, the FCC adopted the regulations in February of 2015 to ensure broadband providers treat all traffic on the internet equally. Now, the main part of the dispute is the industry's objection to the legal gymnastics that the FCC employed to apply to broadband networks the regulations that had been designed for the 80-year-old telephone infrastructure. That is, they're trying to apply these regulations to the very changeable and rapidly growing in usage and popularity telecom and broadband industry. Broadband providers, in fact, say the new classification lets the FCC impose higher rates, which will discourage them from building or upgrading networks. Now, the Federal Communications Commission says it does not have any plans to regulate rates or quash innovative business models. Now, the fight obviously is far from over, and I think it'll be increasing and probably years before they finally resolve it in full. Certainly, that's not good for anyone, regardless of whether they support the FCC's move or not. Now, as you may imagine, the exact outcome of the case, it's hard to predict. No one really knows. But there are several scenarios. If the FCC loses the case entirely, the agency may appeal to the United States Supreme Court, which would likely take the case. But again, that could take another 3 years. So the battle over net neutrality, which is somewhat based upon rather antiquated rulings, is heating up, and certainly with the election, the political climate here in 2016 and the upcoming years will be a rather hot one. Let me know what you think about that. Net neutrality, again, is one website deserving of having a higher priority in the pecking order over another one. Should an ISP be allowed or required to lower the speed when you view one site or go to another internet area over another? Is one more important than the other? I would say net neutrality is an extremely necessary thing to have. Nobody really should get priority over somebody else, but there certainly are sides of the fence. And it is interesting. I mean, not always not always the most intriguing thing to talk about, because they're kind of going back and forth. But I think we do need to come to a resolution. Call me up and let me know what you think. That would just be wonderful, because this is a pretty hot topic. And certainly also with Charter now acquiring Time Warner, and Time Warner having acquired Insight also fairly recently, the merging of these big telecom providers, that will have a big impact on how net neutrality plays out. Number here at the station, talk about this and other topics, is 740-383-9944. My name is Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, your friendly neighborhood computer tech person, information technologist. I guess there are many things you could call me. But not late for dinner, of course. Anyway, if you'd like to find out more about me, that's what I wanted to say. You can visit my website, adamthecomputerguy.com. It has my contact information, link to my Facebook page, and all kinds of other good stuff.
I guess one thing that we've seen become easier by the magic and power of technology and the internet in general is the ability to sign documents electronically. For example, in real estate, you can make an offer on a property and sign electronically. You can electronically sign PDFs and other documents. But many things still need to be notarized. So you ask, can notarizing, I guess that's a word, can that be done electronically? Well, the answer is yes. How about this? There's a company called notarize.com. And they note that there are over 1 billion documents notarized in the United States every year. Now, on notarize.com's website, they note that despite its continued importance, the notary industry is remarkably antiquated and has not kept pace with the needs of today's dramatically evolved mobile tech-enabled economy. Software can improve every aspect of the notary industry and process, from the inconvenience of finding and meeting an agent in person, to the lack of identity verification tools, to archaic paper journal record keeping. Notarize addresses each of these challenges in a transformative way. Now, Notarize.com says that they are the first on-demand remote electronic notary service, valid in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. Now, 5 years ago, the state of Virginia passed a bill which allows for appropriately certified Virginia notaries to complete remote notarization via a live video call. Furthermore, a document remotely notarized in Virginia is valid across state lines. Notarize.com leverages these and other laws to offer people and businesses the ability to legally notarize documents electronically from almost anywhere. So how about that? One of the relics of the non-electronic method of communication, getting something notarized, that can now take the appropriate leap and be done by the power and magic of the computer and electronic communication. We'll keep an eye on this story. I certainly find it intriguing. As a business owner, I do occasionally need to get things notarized, and I wouldn't mind trying the electronic notarization method. Here in the Adam the Computer Guy show, we keep you informed on the latest and greatest in technology advances and news. Thanks a lot for listening. Hey, visit my website, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
Well, thank you very much. That was me with a recorded segment. I want to tell you a little secret here at the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Sometimes disc jockeys and talk show hosts have to use the facilities, and that's what happened. So you maybe always wondered, give you a little inside information on the radio business. When I used to spin music back in the mid-80s at a couple stations I worked at in northern New York, if you had to use the restroom, you often would play a long song. For example, American Pie, or if it was within the format, Stairway to Heaven, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, some of the songs that were big back in the 70s and the 80s, and that would allow disc jockeys to take a break, be it the restroom or some other reason, maybe make a phone call or attend to some personal business. Of course, on a talk station, it's a little trickier, so I do have a couple recorded segments, but what I try to do is play segments that are still timely. When it comes to electronic notaries, that is a topic that I really found intriguing, so that's one of my favorite topics and pre-recorded segments to play if one does have to make a call to nature or attend to some other matter. See, we talk about technology and how it affects even the radio business because it's interesting. On the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature, yes, on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Still time to chime in here on the good old telephone device, be it a cell phone, smartphone, phone that's not so smart, or even the old-fashioned rotary dial phone. You can use one of those also. Hey, give me a ring, 740-383-9944. Something else we do regularly, we try to do it once a month here on the Adam the Computer Guy show, is take a look at the top websites in the world, because those things do tend to change. We'll focus only on the United States and their top 50 websites, which certainly are different than what you might find for the world as a whole. Coming in at number 50, and this is the latest survey released this week, is Wikia.com. That's a relatively new one, which is climbing in popularity. It is free hosting from Wikia, using the same MediaWiki software that runs Wikipedia. That is a user-contributed, pretty much online encyclopedia of anything and everything. BuzzFeed.com, which is number 49. Washington Post, number 48. News site FoxNews.com. Look for that to increase as the election heats up. number 47. Target.com, of course, Target's been embroiled in some controversy. Speaking of restrooms, we'll leave it at that. Of course, with the holiday season seemingly starting earlier every year, Target.com will more than likely be increasing in popularity for at least that reason. And they're at number 47. Number 46, I'm sorry. Number 45, HomeDepot.com, where you can go ahead and purchase items. I've bought appliances from their website, which I think is rather easy to use. Does load rather quickly. Plus, you can find out your closest store and their hours and their phone number and that good stuff. AOL.com, there's a site that is dropping in popularity. They're at number 44. Remember when AOL pretty much ruled the world? Well, those days are over, but AOL is still useful. Microsoft.com, number 43. Again, Microsoft not really being a .com per se, but people to go to their website for information on their operating systems and Office and other software. Number 43. Huffington Post, great news site with all kinds of opinions. Number 42. Etsy.com, where you can sell and buy your crafts and other creative items. 41. Comcast.net, number 40. Microsoft Online, a division of Microsoft. 39. WordPress.com, which lets you get plugins and templates and other things for building a website in WordPress, which is pretty much the most popular platform right now. One nice thing about WordPress is it lets you make your website responsive. That is, it looks good whether it's on a phone or tablet or desktop or laptop. Versatile piece of software. WordPress.com, number 38. Apple.com, 37. Again, not a site about the fruit or about the Beatles record label, but the computer and technology company. Interesting that Apple.com is six slots ahead of Microsoft.com. Remember when Microsoft Windows was far ahead of Apple in popularity? Well, those days appear to be over. Windows certainly is popular as a desktop operating system, but for other devices, Apple certainly has increasing popularity and visibility. Office.com, number 35. Yelp, site where you can make reviews and read reviews, number 34. Blogspot, 33. And yes, Wally World, Walmart.com, number 32. I definitely find that interesting that Microsoft is 11 places behind Walmart.com, and Walmart is more of a brick-and-mortar store than a .com, but they certainly are a major force in the world that we live in. Wells Fargo, big banking and credit site, 31. NY Times, NewYorkTimes.com, 30. IMDb.com. There's one of Adam's favorite sites where you can look up your favorite celebrity and find information, gossip, bloopers and bleepers and blunders from your favorite TV shows and movies. Great site. And again, great price. It's free. Number 29, IMDb.com. Somewhat controversial real estate site. Number 28 is Zillow.com. T.co27, Bank of America, another big banking site. Credit card issuer. That's a hard word to say at 10 o'clock in the morning. Issuer. Well, something like that. Issuer. There we go. Number 26. Now let's take a look at the top 25 websites. ESPN.go.com. Your big sports portal, number 25. MSN.com. Be it for shopping, news, or checking your at MSN.com email, 24. CNN.com, one of the big news sites, 23. Look for that to increase in popularity as the election heats up. Tumblr.com, a free blog hosting platform with lots of templates and other fun things, number 22. PayPal.com, 21. Chase.com, big banking site, especially here in the Mid and Central Ohio area, number 20. Entertainment website, Diply.com, 19. Instagram, there's one that's also increasing in popularity, number 18. Go.com, essentially a portal for Disney's interactive media, number 17. The internet's largest storytelling community, imgur.com, number 16. Microsoft's search engine, Bing, number 15. Microsoft's other search engine, live.com, number 14. those sites being much higher than Microsoft.com. So Microsoft's offshoots are popular, but their website per se, not so much. Pinterest, the online pin board, site that I never really fully understood, number 13. Craigslist, the online classified ad site, another favorite of mine, number 12. Netflix, number 11. LinkedIn, number 10. Reddit, which has news links that are generated from its own users, kind of a twist on the traditional news site, number 9. Twitter, we talked a lot about them earlier in the show. Well, they're at number 8, and I think it'll be increasing with their relaxing of restrictions on tweets. eBay, number 7. Wikipedia, number 6. And the top 5. Not a lot of change here, but these are all biggies. Yahoo, number 5. Amazon.com, that may inch up a bit when the holiday season approaches. Number 4. YouTube, number 3. Of course, YouTube is owned by Google. And speaking of Google, do you think Google is number 1 or Facebook is number 1? Well, actually, in many parts of the world, Facebook is number 1. But here in the good old US of A, Facebook is number 2 and Google is number 1. Well, there you have it. Those were the top 50 websites in the United States of America this week, with some commentary from yours truly, Adam Lepp. And on that note, I bid you a fair adieu. Thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. 10 o'clock features are next, and then it is Charlie Evers with the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Tuesday. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.